We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, 20th chapter, verses 1 to 13, and we may read a few more verses and go up to verse 16, because we have a lot of verses tomorrow in one class. So first I'll read verse 1. Shishukulacha balirevam vihapati kulacha yedabhasita Tushim Bhutakshanam Raja Uvacha Vahito Guru. Shishukadeva Goswami said, O King Parikshit, when Bali Maharaj was thus advised by his spiritual master Shukacharya, his family priest, he remained silent for some time, and then, after full deliberation, he replied to his spiritual master as follows. Mukam karati vachalam bhagam langhayate gini yakipandamaham vande shikaram dinacharinam om jnana timarandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshina vicham yena tasmai shikarave namaha. So Bali Maharaj is ready to give everything to Lord Vamana, Vamanadev. But his guru, Shukacharya, is intervening and he's giving him so many arguments why he should not give to Lord Vamana. What are some of these arguments that we heard this morning that his guru gave? Madhavendra Puri?
Unless you chant Om, the proposal is not bona fide.
Unless you chant Om, then it's not a promise, yes?
By two steps, he will cover all your possessions, and where he will put his third step.
Right. How will you maintain if you lose everything?
And being unable to keep your promise, you will go to the hell.
Yes, yes. So, and then the third step, he won't have any place for his third step, and you won't fulfill your promise, and you'll go to hell. Yes? Yes, he predicted what will happen.
The first step, Vamana will do this.
Yes.
This, and then
he got the first two steps right. The third one, he couldn't figure out. He couldn't figure out where is he going to put his third step. What's left?
And,
yes.
And he said that in this case, it's okay if you lie a little bit. Like in the marriage ceremony.
It's okay if you lie in marriage ceremony.
And to keep your the life.
To protect your life.
Yes.
Yes, there are some others. Yes.
And he gave also suggestions to Bali Maharaj how one who has money should divide it.
Yeah, how to divide your money.
Injunctions. So for yes. Opulence, for family members, for...
Right.
For
how to divide your money?
Religion.
Religion. Yeah. And for sense education.
Okay. So this actually we were discussing. It's a bit reminiscent of Bhagavad Gita, where Arjuna is giving arguments to Krishna why he should not fight, but then Krishna will give counter arguments that no, you're eternal. You're my servant. Remember me and fight. And the ultimate principle actually is to please Krishna. So here, Bali Maharaj is now first deliberating. He remains silent. What is he going to say? How is he going to reply to his guru and to Vamanadev, who is standing before him? So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur remarks that Bali Maharaj remained silent at a critical point. How could he disobey the instruction of Shukacharya, his spiritual master? It is the duty of such a sober personality as Bali Maharaj to abide by the orders of his spiritual master immediately, as his spiritual master had advised. But Bali Maharaj also considered that Shukacharya was no longer to be accepted as a spiritual master, for he had deviated from the duty of a spiritual master. According to Shastra, the duty of the guru is to take the disciple back home, back to Godhead. If he is unable to do so, and instead hinders the disciple in going back to Godhead, he should not be a guru. Guru na sasyat. One should not become a guru if he cannot enable his disciple to advance in Krishna consciousness. The goal of life is to become a devotee of Lord Krishna so that one may be freed from the bondage of material existence. Chaktadeham parachanma naitimam iti sojana. The spiritual master helps the disciple attain this stage by developing Krishna consciousness. Now, Shukacharya has advised Bali Maharaj to deny the promise to Vamanadeva. Under the circumstances, therefore, Bali Maharaj thought that there would be no fault if he disobeyed the order of his spiritual master. He deliberated on this point. Should he refuse to accept the advice of his spiritual master, or should he independently do everything to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead? He took some time. Therefore, it is said, Tushtim bhutta kshanam rajan uva cha vahito gurum. After deliberating on this point, he decided that Lord Vishnu should be pleased in all circumstances, even at the risk of ignoring the guru's advice to the contrary. Anyone who is supposed to be a guru but who goes against the principle of Vishnu bhakti cannot be accepted as guru. If one has falsely accepted such a guru, one should reject him. Such a guru is described as follows, Mahabharat. Guru apyavliptasya karya karyam ajanata utpatta patipanasya parityaga vidhiyate. Srila Jiva Goswami has advised that such a useless guru, a family priest acting as a guru, should be given up and that the proper bona fide guru should be accepted. So, Adipurush, what is the translation of this guru api aviliptasya? What does that mean? I know karya karya majanata. I heard Prabhupada translate that, that he doesn't know what should be done and what is not to be done. Oh, he slipped. Okay. Avilip. Okay. Utpatti paripanasya parityago. There is a lecture. I may have this lecture somewhere in my notes here. May come to it, where Prabhupada translates this verse about which kind of guru you should reject. To the wrong path. Utpata. Just like utpata yava kalpate. Yes, utpata. The wrong path. So we hear in by Rishabhdev, the verse was quoted, Guru nasasyat, sajana nasasyat, pita nasasyat, janani nasasyat. Devam natatsya napatishtu sasyam namachayatya samapetamityam. One who cannot deliver his dependents from the path of repeated birth and death should never become a spiritual master, father, husband, mother, or a wishable demigod. So all these people mentioned in that verse, they have a responsibility to their dependents to deliver them from the path of repeated birth and death. So here we have our Karmakanda Guru, and we have our pure devotee Bali Maharaj, who is in the body of a demon. One's a Brahmin, and one's in a demon Kshatriya body. But actually, the higher one is Bali Maharaj. And so often we have this in Bhagavatam, that the pure devotee is a demon instead of the devotee, or the so-called devotee. So in the second canto, the third chapter, verse 22, Srila Prabhupada says, one should not become a pseudo-spiritual master as a matter of business to meet one's family expenditures. One must be an expert spiritual master to deliver the disciple from the clutches of impending death. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, or in our literature, what are some other examples of somebody who was in the position of guru or Brahman who did not act properly and should be rejected as a guru or Brahman, besides Shukracharya, yes? Ramachandra Puri, okay, the godbrother of Ishwar Puri.
And even though Mahaprabhu didn't reject him, but took him to help, his instructions to help, still the community see a cloud of pudding, were very happy when he left.
Yes, so Lord Chaitanya followed his orders, but when this Ramachandra Puri left, everyone was very happy. And I can understand why. I was reading a Gaura Gradadesha Deepika, one of those books that tells who they were in their last, I think it was Garga Samhita. So in his previous incarnation. Kutila. You know, who is always giving Radharani trouble. Sari Purush?
Several examples.
Oh, you have the whole list here? Oh, where'd you get it from?
Five.
Where is this from?
From the lecture.
Acha.
This is Bali rejected his family guru.
Oh, okay. Oh, that, yeah.
Prahlad rejected his father.
Okay, Prahlad. Yeah, I have that lecture too. Prahlad rejected his father. Bali rejected his guru. Vibhishana rejected his brother, Ravana.
Gopis rejected their
husbands. Gopis rejected their husbands.
And Bharata rejected his mother.
And Bharata rejected his mother. Huh. What was her name? Kekai. Bharata rejected his mother. So these are the examples. Bali Maharaj is about to reject his guru. And he will give all the reasons why. And he will also speak the truth. But not in a heavy, heavy way. He will not be very direct. He will not exactly say the real truth. He will say the truth. But he will also speak on Shastra and try to convince them that it's what he's doing is the right thing to do. He's trying to speak in such a way so he won't disturb his demoniac friends and his guru also. So I had another example from Bhagavatam of someone who failed to discharge the duties of a Brahmin and was liable to be rejected from the exalted position of a Brahmin. And this example is in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes? Huh? Ashwatthama, yes. Ashwatthama is the one, and there's a verse there, it says, Ashwatthama failed to discharge the duties of a Brahmin or teacher, therefore he was liable to be rejected from the exalted position of a Brahmin. On this consideration, both Lord Shri Krishna and Arjuna were right in condemning Ashwatthama. 1.7.43. Now in Bhagavad Gita, also there's a purport to the first chapter, fifth verse. According to scriptural codes, a teacher who engages in abominable action and has lost his sense of discrimination is fit to be abandoned. So these are other reasons why to reject. In India, actually, this applies in India because they have so many family gurus who don't have much knowledge, but they just do the rituals. And so these type of gurus should be rejected. Now in the fifth canto, 14th chapter, verse 13, it talks a bit about bogus gurus. There is a verse, sometimes to mitigate distress in the forest of the material world, the conditioned soul receives cheap blessings from atheists. He then loses all intelligence in their association. This is exactly like jumping in a shallow river. As a result, one simply breaks his head. He's not able to mitigate his sufferings from the heat, and in both ways he suffers. The misguided conditioned soul also approaches so-called sadhus and swamis who preach against the principles of the Vedas. He does not receive benefit from them either in the present or in the future. This is 5.14.13. So this is going on. So verse 2. Now he's going to speak. And he will take the words of Shukracharya, but he will speak it the proper understanding of the words of Shukracharya. He says, Bali Maharaj said, as you have already stated, the principle of religion that does not hinder one's economic development, sense gratification, fame, and means of livelihood is the real occupation duty of the householder. I also think this religious principle is correct. So he's agreeing, first thing, yes, what you say is correct. Yes, it's correct. So Prabhupada says in the purport, yes, you should divide your wealth. These five ways, I agree. It is correct what you're saying. Prabhupada says, Bali Maharaja's grave answer to Shukracharya is meaningful. Shukracharya stressed that one's material means of livelihood and one's material reputation, sense gratification, economic development must continue properly. To see to this is the first duty of a man who is a householder, especially one who is interested in material affairs. If a religious principle does not affect one's material condition, it is to be accepted. At the present time in this age of Kali, this idea is extremely prominent. Your religion should not interfere with your making money. Should not interfere. Money, actually, real religion is money. Money is religion. Making money is religion. So if your religion interferes, and this is not good, you should reject. No one is prepared to accept any religious principle if it hampers material prosperity, like surrender and give everything to Krishna. Shukracharya, being a person of this material world, did not know the principles of a devotee. A devotee is determined to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead to his full satisfaction. Now we're getting the other side. Prabhupada is explaining to us the mentality of Bali Maharaj. Anything that hampers such determination should certainly be rejected. This is the principle of bhakti. Anukuyasya sankalpa pratikuyasya varjanam. To perform devotional service, one must accept only that which is favorable and reject that which is unfavorable. Bali Maharaj had the opportunity to contribute everything he possessed to the lotus feet of Lord Vamanadeva, but Shukracharya was putting forward a material argument to hamper this process of devotional service. Under the circumstances, Bali Maharaj decided that such hindrances should certainly be avoided. In other words, he decided immediately to reject the advice of Shukracharya and go on with his duty. Thus he gave all his possessions to Lord Vamanadeva. So Burijan says this verse is good preaching for materialistic persons. You'll get a lot of followers if you take this verse and say, yes, here's a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. It says, religion should not interfere with your economic development, sense gratification, fame, and your means of livelihood. And so people can twist the shastra and say, yes, this says this in Bhagavatam. So let me follow this verse of Bhagavatam. This is my guiding principle of my life. No, this is not. But Bali Maharaj is speaking so as not to disturb his Guru Maharaj too much. Of course, he's going to disturb him and he's going to get cursed. But at least in the beginning, he's trying to speak nicely and sweetly. So nowadays, nobody will accept this idea of just try to please God. That's the goal of life.
The first half of 47.
Yes. Karma nivadikarste. Yes. Second half they don't accept. Yes, we should do our duty. They like that part of the verse of Gita. But don't be attached to the fruits part. That they don't memorize that part of the verse. Only the first line. they learn. So Bali has very deep devotion. And he will be tested. And we'll see how Vamanadeva reacts to Bali in his mood also. And Bali, he is teaching us Atmanivedanam. So I have a lecture here on early days in Srila Prabhupada. At this time, there were many bogus gurus in the United States. 1966, a Bhagavad Gita lecture, 9:26 and 27. So the verse 9:27, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, you should give to me, Krishna says. So he is taking that position in Bhagavad Gita of Vamanadeva. So Prabhupada tells a story that Bali Maharaj, he was very happy to see Vamanadeva. He said, yes, what do you want? I'll give you something. But then Shukracharya said, no, no, this boy is Vishnu. He's God. He's come to cheat you. Don't promise. He's God and he'll take everything. If you agree to offer something, he'll take yourself also. Prabhupada said, people think like this. God is very intelligent. And Prabhupada said, yes, this is true. Once you engage yourself in Krishna consciousness, there is no way out. You have that experience. You can't escape. You cannot go out. And Krishna is so kind. You have to be Krishna conscious once you become a devotee. You cannot forget Krishna, even you try. So the guru was thinking, oh, if Krishna takes everything from my disciple, how will I live? If he becomes a beggar, I'll become a beggar. So he was very cautious. He said, don't promise. So Prabhupada is taking the part of Bali Maharaj. Why? He's just a little boy. Let me give him something. Shukracharya is saying, no, he's not a little boy. He's God. And then Bali says, oh, he's God? Okay, well, you tell me not to give. Formerly you taught me you should give. I should worship Vishnu. Now he's at my door and you tell me not to give. I reject you. I don't want a spiritual master like you. And so this is the example of Bali Maharaj, a Mahajan. Verse 3. And now he's going to give the reasons why he should not withdraw his promise. Verse 3. I am the grandson of Maharaj Prahlad. How can I withdraw my promise? Because of greed for money. When I have already said I shall give this land, how can I behave like an ordinary cheater, especially toward a Brahmin? So this whole purport, or much of this purport, is about kripa sitas. So what is the example? What are the examples of kripa sita given in this purport? Don't look at your book and don't look at the... Yes, Adipurush. Who? Yagya Patnis, the wives of the Brahmins who gave food to Krishna and Balaram. Who else? Bali Maharaj? Yeah, he's because of Prahlad Maharaj, actually. He's a kripa sita by the mercy of Prahlad. Yes? Another one? There's one more. You said Shukadev Goswami. He was kripa sita. From birth, he did not follow any of the rules, and he just left home. At the time of birth, he just left home. So, purport, Bali Maharaj had already been blessed by his grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj. Therefore, he was a pure devotee, although born in a family of demons. There are two kinds of highly elevated devotees called Sadhana Siddha and Kripa Siddha. Sadhana Siddha refers to one who has become a devotee by regular execution of regulative principles mentioned in the Shastras as ordered and directed by the spiritual master. If one regularly executes such devotional service, he will certainly attain perfection in due course of time. But there are other devotees who may not have undergone all the required details of devotional service, but who by the special mercy of Guru and Krishna, spiritual master and supreme personality of Godhead, have immediately attained perfection of pure devotional service. Examples of such devotees are Yagyapatnis, Maharaj Bali, and Shukadev Goswami. The Yagyapatnis were the wives of ordinary Brahmins engaged in fruitive activities, so they were the wives of people like Shukracharya. Although the Brahmins were very learned and advanced in Vedic knowledge, they could not achieve the mercy of Krishna Balaram, whereas their wives achieved complete perfection in devotional service despite their being women. Similarly, Virochini Bali Maharaj received the mercy of Prahlad Maharaj, and by Prahlad Maharaj's mercy, he also received the mercy of Lord Vishnu, who appeared before him as a brahmachari beggar. Thus, Bali Maharaj became a kripa siddha because of the special mercy of both Guru and Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirms this favor. Guru Krishna Prasadipai Vatilatabish. So, that I just thought of something. If this is the qualification for getting kripa siddha, then all of us are kripa siddhas. We all got the mercy of the Guru and Krishna. We got the bhakti lata bij. We got the seed of devotional service. Everyone's a kripa siddha, actually. Of course, immediately we didn't become, so that's the real kripa siddha. But still, we got the kripa. Bali Maharaj, by the grace of Prahlad Maharaj, got the seed of devotional service. And when that seed developed, he achieved the ultimate fruit of that service, namely love of Godhead, prema pumartha mahan, immediately upon the appearance of Lord Vamanadev. Bali Maharaj regularly maintained devotion for the Lord. Because he was purified, the Lord appeared before him. Because of unalloyed love for the Lord, he then immediately decided, I shall give this little dwarf brahmana whatever he asks from me. This is a sign of pure love. Thus Bali Maharaj is understood to be one who received the highest perfection of devotional service by special mercy. So Brijan Prabhu talks about the Yagna Patnis, that when they saw Krishna the first time, then Krishna entered their hearts and embraced them, and then they became perfect kripa siddhas. I just thought of something. I can't remember it now. Okay, let me read this. Go back here again. I shall give him whatever he asks. Bali Maharaj regularly maintained devotion because he was purified. The Lord appeared before him. Okay. Can't remember now. So Bali Maharaj was already a devotee, but when Vamanadev came, then he stole his heart away. As Shukracharya predicted, Hari will come, and he will take. And he took his mind, he took his heart. And so now he has given his heart, and he will give everything to Vamanadev. Now I have something here from Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And it's a little excerpt when Srila Prabhupada was here. It's an example of how the devotees are behaving like Vamanadev. As we walked around the park, Tamal Krishna Maharaj told Srila Prabhupada that when they had applied to the city, this is New York, for permission to hold Rath Yatra, they only said it was going to be a small parade with some hand-drawn floats. Tamal laughed. Another trick of the Hare Krishnas. So he's saying, well, it's nothing big, this Rath Yatra. And they're asking for permission for Rath Yatra in New York City. Just a few, some small floats. And then they bring this big, huge chariot and goes up everyone's pulling the chariot, hundreds and thousands of people. So Prabhupada smilingly compared them to Lord Vamana asking Bali for charity. Bali Maharaj was asked for 3 feet of land. Very good. You speak so nicely, so intelligent, but you're just a little boy. You don't know how to ask. I can give you a big island. Vamana said, no, I must be satisfied as I require. I don't want more. Just 3 feet. So Prabhupada told us right now he's writing an 8th canto about Srimad Bhagavatam. He described how Bali Maharaj's guru, Shukracharya, had chastised his disciple. Rascal! If you give like that, where will you stay? He'll take everything. Smarta Brahman, Prabhupada said, just considering how shall I live. So therefore, he rejected his guru. So Satsrup Maharaj asked, but that guru told him to worship Vishnu officially. Prabhupada said, no, he was by nature a Vaishnava, like the grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj. So he, although born in a demon family, he was not a demon. He said, yes, demon family, still they are Kshatriyas. Just like Europeans and Americans, they were Kshatriyas, now they become demons. Actually, they are Kshatriyas. I've studied Prabhupada's. He often said that the Europeans and Americans were Kshatriyas. They were driven out by Parashuram, and they went to Europe and America. Of course, America was later, but they went to Europe. When Parashuram was killing all the Kshatriyas, and they were hiding in Europe. Egypt also. So they were fleeing away from Parashuram. And Prabhupada said, yes, I have studied. These Americans and Europeans are Kshatriyas by nature. So verse 4. There is nothing more sinful than untruthfulness. Because of this, Mother Earth once said, I can bear any heavy thing except a person who is a liar. Isn't that something? Purport. On the surface of the earth, there are many great mountains and oceans that are very heavy, and Mother Earth has no difficulty carrying them, but she feels very much overburdened when she carries even one person who is a liar. It is said in Kali Yuga, lying is a common affair, mayaiva vya vaharike. Even in the most common dealings, people are accustomed to speaking so many lies. No one is free from the sinful reactions of speaking lies. Under the circumstances, one can just imagine how this has overburdened the earth and indeed the entire universe. So he's giving, actually, now he's trying to defeat all of the arguments of Shukracharya. Shukracharya is saying, no, it's okay to lie. And now Balaraj says, no, it's not okay to lie. Just see how it overburdens the earth if you lie. But actually, he wanted, in his heart, he was feeling great devotion for Vamanadev, but he's giving more indirect reasons, first of all, to satisfy his guru, to defeat all the arguments of his guru. He's giving, yes, that religious principle which does not take away, I agree. And verse 4 also, now he's saying, no, you cannot lie. Now he's doing opposite. Verse 5, now he's giving reasons why he doesn't want to lie. I do not fear hell. Poverty, an ocean of distress, fall down from my position, or even death itself, as much as I fear cheating a Brahmin. So, we have here the worst thing that can happen to you in your life or in this life. So, How many of you think that hell is the worst thing that can happen? No, nobody. Nobody's worried about hell. How about poverty? Poverty, nobody's worried. Okay. Ocean of distress? Okay, we don't worry. Fall down for my position? No worries. Janmashtami is worried about that. Okay. Janmashtami is very truthful. Or death. Okay. Cheating a Brahmin. So, okay, you're afraid of that. That's very good. Cheating a Brahmin. This is very fearful. So this is Balai Maharaj is listing all the worst things that can happen. And all these things will happen to him. He'll go to the lower planets. Everything will be taken. And there will be distress. Of course, he won't be feeling distress because he's a pure devotee. He'll fall down from his position. He won't die, though. But he doesn't want to cheat a Brahmin. Now, in the 10th canto, it talks about what happens to somebody who cheats a Brahmin. 10:64:35. And Lord Krishna is speaking to his family members. He's teaching his sons and grandsons that never cheat a Brahmin. So Lord Krishna says, if a person enjoys a Brahmin's property without receiving due permission, that property destroys three generations of his family. But if he takes it by force or gets the government or other outsiders to help him usurp it, then 10 generations of his ancestors and 10 generations of his descendants are all destroyed. So this is happening in Kazakhstan now that the government is taking away the devotees' land. So here is what the reaction will be, according to Krishna. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, Tri Purusha refers to oneself, one's sons, and one's grandsons. Then 10:64:38, a few verses it goes on. 38. For as many years as there are particles of dust touched by the tears of generous Brahmins who have dependent families, whose property is stolen, uncontrolled kings who usurp a Brahmin's property are cooked, along with their royal families, in the hell known as Kumbhipaka. So here's more what's going to happen for those who take away the Brahmin's property. 39. Whether it be his own gift or someone else's, a person who steals a Brahmin's property will take birth as a worm in stool for 60,000 years. Not only will he be ruin his family, he'll be cooked in Kumbhipaka and he'll be a worm in stool. I do not desire Brahmin's wealth. Those who lust after it become short-lived and are defeated. They lose their kingdoms and become snakes who trouble others. All these things happen to somebody who cheats a Brahmin. And then Krishna says, he concludes, my dear followers, never treat a learned Brahmin harshly, even if he has sinned. Even if he attacks you physically or repeatedly curses you, always continue to offer him obeisances. Lord Krishna purport offers this instruction not only to his personal associates, but to all those who claim to be followers of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna says, just as I always carefully bow down to Brahmins, so all of you should likewise bow down to them. I will punish anyone who acts otherwise. Then the next, 43. When a Brahmin's property is stolen, even unknowingly, it certainly causes the person who takes it to fall down, just as the Brahmana's cow did to Nriga. So these are instructions not to cheat a Brahmin. Verse 6. My Lord, you can also see, now more preaching to Shukracharya, that all the material opulences of this world are certainly separated from their possessor at death. Therefore, if the Brahmin Vamanadeva is not satisfied by whatever gifts one has given, why not please him with the riches one is destined to lose at death? A very good argument. That you're going to lose it anyway, so why not please the Lord with your opulence? Purport, the word vipra means Brahmin, at the same time confidential. Balai Maharaj had confidentially decided to give the gift to Lord Vamanadeva without discussion, but because such a decision would hurt the hearts of the Asuras and his spiritual master, Shukracharya, he spoke equivocally. Balai Maharaj, as a pure devotee, had already decided to give all the land to Lord Vishnu. So even though he was a pure devotee, and even though he had already decided, he's speaking all these words just to not so, so he'll, it won't be so hard on his guru and his friends. Because his friends are all demons, and his guru is Karmakandiya. So now he's speaking, he wants to defeat, although he could have just said, okay, take the land, here it is. No, but he's giving arguments, he's giving reasons, he's justifying his actions. And he's trying to even enlighten his guru. And here's a verse of enlightenment, verse 6, that yes, we're going to lose it anyway, so why not give it in charity? So then the next one, next verse 7, he's going to give examples of people who have already given everything. Verse 7, Dadichi, Shibi, and many other great personalities were willing to sacrifice even their lives for the benefit of the people in general. This is the evidence of history. So why not give up this insignificant land? What is a serious consideration against it? So, I mean, insignificant means the whole universe. It's insignificant land. He's got the whole universe under his control, and that's what he's going to give. But it's actually insignificant, because compared to what he's going to get, something much more valuable in return. Bali Maharaj purport was prepared to give everything to Lord Vishnu. Shukracharya, being a professional priest, might have been anxiously waiting, doubting whether there had been any such instance in history in which one had given everything in charity. So that's this verse is the answer to Shukracharya's anxiety. Bali Maharaj, however, cited the tangible examples of Maharaj Shibi and Maharaj Dadichi, who had given up their lives for the benefit of the general public. So Maharaj Shibi, he gave his flesh to protect, who was it, a pigeon? Yeah, a pigeon. And from a hawk. And Dadichi gave his bones to the demigods to fashion the weapon which Indra used, Indra's thunderbolt weapon against Vritrasura. So these are examples. Certainly, Prabhupada says, one has attachment for everything material, especially one's land. But land and other possessions are forcibly taken away at the time of death, as stated in Bhagavad Gita. Mrityu saraharas chaham. The Lord personally appeared to Bali Maharaj to take everything he had. Thus he was so fortunate that he could see the Lord face to face. Non-devotees, however, cannot see the Lord face to face. To such persons, the Lord appears as death and takes away all their possessions by force. Under the circumstances, why should we not part with our possessions and deliver them to Lord Vishnu for his satisfaction? Sri Chanaka Pandit says in this regard, Sanimite vanam tyago virashe niyate sati. Since our money and possessions do not last, but will somehow or other be taken away, as long as they are in our possession, it is better to use them for charity to a noble cause. Therefore, Bali Maharaj defied the order of his so-called spiritual master. So if you're in the Vedic society, to defy your guru is a very big sin, actually. To reject your guru is a big, big sin. And this is a lecture I think I have here, which Adi Prush is Nectar of Devotion, Bombay 72. Prabhupada talks about this. And then he talks about the gopis and Yagyapatnis. How Prahlad Maharaj, to see one's father being killed in one's presence, and one woman is going to another boy dead of night, superficially are sinful activities. But this is actually the highest worship, as recommended by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The main thing is how to please Krishna. So the point is that sometimes it may appear against the social and religious rules, but if it's done for Krishna, that's good. But we can't imitate in this side. To go against the rules, we should be very careful. So Prabhupada gives a really nice example that when Krishna got a headache, nobody was prepared to give the dust from their feet to cure Krishna's headache. Only the gopis. Only the gopis said yes. Then Narada Muni said, you're going to give the dust of your feet to Krishna? They said, yes. We will go to hell. It doesn't matter what happens to us. But Krishna must be pleased. We want to cure his headache. And so this is the principle, the highest principle. Amishra Bhakta, he's thinking, okay, I'll be a devotee if as long as my family is maintained and everything is going nicely in my life, then I will be a devotee. Otherwise, no. Worship some demigod or do something else. So this is this lecture here. And Prabhupada talks about people, they come to Vrindavan and they give all their money to the family and they tell them, just send me 200 rupees a month for my maintenance. And Prabhupada says, Krishna is very intelligent. He's saying, oh, you work so hard and you're giving all your money to your children and your family and you're coming here empty-handed. So Prabhupada says, if you are 200 rupees for Krishna, Krishna will be 200 rupees for you. And this is, you give everything, then Krishna will give you himself. So Charaka Pandit, we have this saying here, that you have this money, it's going to be taken away, so better use it to please Krishna. And Prabhupada explains that either the money will go from you, or you have to go from the money at the end of your life. So one way or the other, you won't be able to keep it. He says, if you try to keep it, then the government will take it away. Thieves will take it. Government will. If the government sees you have money, they will tax you. They will take it away. And so, better you spend it for Krishna. And there was one purport I remember from last year, 6th canto, 10th chapter, verse 6. Very nice purport. And Prabhupada quotes the Shanaka Pandit, Shloka. And Prabhupada says, if one is advanced in knowledge, he must always be prepared to sacrifice anything for a better cause. And Prabhupada, in his purport, he's begging everyone. He said, at the present moment, the entire world is in a dangerous position under the spell of a godless civilization. The Krishna consciousness movement needs many exalted, learned persons who will sacrifice their lives to revive God consciousness throughout the world. So Prabhupada is begging advanced, intelligent people, give up your life for Krishna and spread this movement. He's like Vamanadeva. He says, we therefore invite all men and women advanced in knowledge to join the Krishna conscious movement, sacrifice their lives for the great cause of reviving the God consciousness of human society. So Prabhupada is begging all of us to sacrifice our lives for spreading this movement. He's like Vamanadeva. So who will answer his call? Who will answer Srila Prabhupada's call to sacrifice your life for Krishna? He is like that. And that's how it was in the beginning. You had to sacrifice everything. And now, of course, it's a little bit more comfortable. But still, that order is there, that challenge is there to give everything to Krishna. And if you're a sincere devotee, then Krishna will put you in such a position that you will have to do it. You won't have any choice. You'll have to sacrifice everything. At one point in your life, you have to do it. You have to surrender everything and depend on Krishna. In the Vedic society, it was there, right, built in, that at the age of 50, you leave everything and you take sannyas. But now we have, it's very difficult to follow that. We have so many people over 50, even 60, in our movement 70, and they don't take sannyas. They start getting married at the age of 50, yes, it's a problem. Well, the problem is that we gave our youth, you know, to Prabhupada, and in our youth we couldn't have anything. Prabhupada didn't allow us to have sense gratification, so therefore you hit your midlife crisis, and then you think, oh, I didn't do this, I didn't do that. Oh, only if I did this. And then you try it, and then you're miserable. And then you regret, and you say, oh, if only I didn't do that. Anyway, it goes like that. It goes like, only if I could surrender to Krishna, like Srila Prabhupada actually wanted. That is the best, only if. So verse 8, O best of the Brahmins, certainly the great demoniac kings who are never reluctant to fight enjoyed this world, but in due course of time, everything they had was taken away except their reputation, by which they continue to exist. In other words, one should try to achieve a good reputation instead of anything else. So he's accepting part of the instruction of Shukracharya. He said five things are important, and one was dharma, one is reputation, one is maintenance, opulence, and sense gratification. So he's accepting, yes, reputation, that's the highest. And it's actually for Kshatriyas, reputation was the most important thing. It was even an argument by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita that Arjuna, if you don't fight, you will lose your reputation as a fighter. So this was a very heavy thing. Kshatriyas, they want to keep their reputation. And part of their reputation is giving to Brahmins, being charitable, and keeping their word of their word, actually, keeping their word, their promise. They must keep their word. Kshatriyas are known for being true to their vow, their word of honor. Kshatriyas are known for doing things just for the sake of reputation, fighting, giving in charity for the sake of reputation. So Bali Maharaj, he's saying, now I should have a good reputation. Actually, it's not the real reason. It's not the real reason why he wants to give to Bali. He wants to give because he loves Vamanadev. Bali Maharaj loves Vamanadev. It's out of devotion. But he's saying, no, I must have reputation. Remember you said? Huh? Yeah, remember you said we must have reputation now? So now he's with this argument. Yes, okay, as you said, I want reputation. Purport. In this regard, Janaka Pandit says, Ayusha Kshana Ekopi in Alabya Sanako to be. Duration of one's life is extremely short, but if in that short lifetime one can do something that enhances his good reputation, that may continue to exist for many millions of years. Bali Maharaj therefore decided not to follow his spiritual master's instruction, but he denied his promise to Vamanadev. Instead, he decided to give the land according to the promise and be everlastingly celebrated as one of the 12 Mahajans, Balir Vyasakir Vayam. So just imagine. Now, think back, of course you weren't there, but think back in history, 200 years ago, on this earth, how many people can you remember from 200 years ago? How many? One, two? Yes, from here. 2006, take away 200. That leaves 1800, beginning of 1800. How many people do you remember? From anything? Huh? Napoleon. Was he alive then? Okay, so one. And how many people lived 200 years ago on this earth? Huh? Some Russians you remember? Poets, Russian poets. Yeah, so who do we remember actually? Who do we remember just even 200 years ago? And if you go into the future, now you think how many? There's 6 billion people now on this earth, I think. I'm not sure. Something around that. Now, out of these 6 billion people, who is going to be remembered 200 years from now? How many people are going to be remembered by the people who live 200 years from now?
What's the point to be remembered in the future?
Yes, the point is, yes. Well, he's saying this is very good. Then that way you extend your life in one sense. But the point is that how long ago was this happening with Bali Maharaj? How many years ago was this taking place? Pastime. Vaishvata Manu. Okay, it's our present Manu, so not too long ago. Few million years ago. And we remember him. So who is famous in this world? Who is remembered in this world? It's the devotee. Actually, he's the only one who is famous. Somebody who is a devotee of Lord Krishna. We remember him from millions of years ago. And who will remember us 200 years from now? Very few. The point is, the reason why he's saying that reputation is very nice is because it extends your life in a sense. Like our lifetime is very, very short. But if somebody remembers you, like your sons, okay, your sons, your grandsons, they may remember you. But if so many people remember you, then that's in a sense extending your life. Yes, Adi Purush?
Mahabharata says that as long as your good deeds are remembered, you stay in heaven.
Okay, so here is another good point. As long as your good deeds are remembered, you will stay in heaven, Mahabharata says. As long as somebody remembers you, your good deeds here on earth. And I remember that somebody was falling from heaven and he went to find someone on earth who could remember, and somebody remembered him. Nobody was remembering, and then finally he found somebody very, very old.
To be remembered is to stick with our material life. So
yeah, we remember our material life, so what's the use?
Yes.
There's no use. This is the point.
No use to be remembered.
Yes. Yes, so the point is that Bali Maharaj is making the point that people are remembered because they do good. When they do good things, then people are remembered. So he's speaking on a material level. He's trying to please his guru, who is saying that these things are important. It's important to be have reputation, to be remembered. Actually, it's not the real reason he's speaking. It's not the real intention. Okay. So verse 9. O best of the Brahmins, many men have laid down their lives on the battlefield, being unafraid of fighting. But rarely has one gotten the chance to give his accumulated wealth faithfully to a saintly person who creates holy places. So he says the chance to fight is always there, and that we know, it's especially in Kali Yuga, everyone wants to fight, so it's no problem to find a fight, a good fight. But to find somebody who is worthy of charity, this is very, very rare. And here's to give it to Krishna directly. This is amazing. Verse 10. By giving charity, a benevolent and merciful person undoubtedly becomes even more auspicious, especially when he gives charity to a person like your good self. Under the circumstances, I must give this little brahmachari whatever charity he wants from me. So in the purport, Prabhupada says, if one accepts poverty-stricken position because of losing money in business, gambling, prostitution, or intoxication, no one will praise him. Everybody does that. Everybody loses money for those things. But if one becomes poverty-stricken by giving all his possessions in charity, he'll become adored all over the world. So we don't read in the newspaper of anybody like this, who gave all his so much money that he had nothing left for himself.
There was a case in
India. Yeah, there was a case in India, but it wasn't that he gave in charity. It was something. Yeah, I don't know the case you're talking about. So this is a point. Verse 11, O great sage, great saintly persons like you, being completely aware of the Vedic principles for performing ritualistic ceremonies and yagyas, worship Lord Vishnu in all circumstances. So now he's preaching to his guru. Therefore, whether that same Lord Vishnu has come here to give me all benedictions or to punish me as an enemy, I must carry out his order and give him the requested tract of land without hesitation. So when you perform sacrifice in these rituals, you have to worship Vishnu. Without Vishnu, the sacrifice. So he's telling you, his guru, okay, but you know, you worship Vishnu. Now you're telling me not to worship Vishnu? So he's putting it in there. End of the purport. Bali Maharaj, having been perfectly educated in devotional service by his grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj, knew how things are to be done. He was never to be misguided by anyone, even by a person who happened to be his so-called spiritual master. This is a sign of full surrender. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, Marabira kabi jo ichato harda nichadas pati tuva adhikara. When one surrenders to Lord Vishnu, one must be prepared to abide by his orders in all circumstances. Whether he kills one or gives one protection, Lord Vishnu must be worshipped in all circumstances. So verse 12. Although he is Vishnu himself, out of fear, he has covered himself in the form of a Brahmin to come to me begging. Under the circumstances, because he has assumed the form of a Brahmin, even if he irreligiously arrests me or even kills me, I shall not retaliate, although he is my enemy. So, okay, maybe he's Vishnu, and maybe out of fear he's covered himself. He's talking to his demonic friends and to his guru. He doesn't feel that way, but he's saying, yes, okay, maybe, suppose he's Vishnu. But he's taken the form of a Brahmin. So the principle is, the Kshatriyas, they must always give charity to Brahmins. Doesn't matter who he is. Purport, if Lord Vishnu, as he is, had come to Bali Maharaj and asked him to do something, Bali Maharaj certainly would not have refused his request. But to enjoy a little humor between himself and his devotee, the Lord covered himself as a Brahmin of Brahmachari, and thus came to Bali Maharaj to beg for only 3 feet of land. So then the next verse. If this Brahmana really is Lord Vishnu, who is worshipped by Vedic hymns, he would never give up his widespread reputation. Either he would lie down, having been killed by me, or he would kill me in a fight. So it seems like Bali Maharaj is also joking, in a sense. We'll see in the purport. Because the words which he is saying, he will lie down having been killed by me, or he would kill me in a fight. So he doesn't really believe that. Let's see what it really means, according to the purport. Bali Maharaja's statement that Vishnu would lie down having been killed is not the direct meaning, for Vishnu cannot be killed by anyone. Lord Vishnu can kill everyone, but he cannot be killed. Thus, the real meaning of the words lie down is that Lord Vishnu would reside within the core of Bali Maharaj's heart. Lord Vishnu is defeated by a devotee through devotional service. Otherwise, no one can defeat Lord Vishnu. Yes, so Bali Maharaj will actually... It's not that Vamana will defeat Bali. Bali will defeat Vamana in this case. It looks... Something different is happening from what we see externally. So he's going to defeat Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu will lie defeated in Bali Maharaj's heart. He will defeat him by his devotion. So there is a verse, Stanestita Shutikatam Tanuvamana, here, that you can conquer Vishnu simply by remaining in your position and hearing about him. So that we can also do. So now we're going to go on. We'll read a few more verses, because tomorrow, the first class, there are so many verses to cover. A whole chapter 21, and then like 20 verses of chapter 20. So I'm going to do a few more verses today in this class. Verse 14. Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued, "Thereafter, the spiritual master Shukracharya, being inspired by the Supreme Lord, cursed his exalted disciple, Bali Maharaj, who was so magnanimous and fixed in truthfulness that instead of respecting his spiritual master's instructions, he wanted to disobey his order." Purport. The difference between the behavior of Bali Maharaj and that of his spiritual master Shukracharya was that Bali Maharaj had already developed love of Godhead, whereas Shukracharya, being merely a priest of routine rituals, had not. So just imagine, here is the guru, who's supposed to be the spiritual master, and he doesn't have love, and Bali Maharaj, the disciple, has love of Godhead. So the disciple, he was preaching to his guru, actually, that, you know, the material things we don't need, we should worship Vishnu, we should give them. So it's stated in Bhagavad Gita. Oh, thus Shukracharya was never inspired by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to develop in devotional service, stated by the Lord in Bhagavad Gita. Tesham satata yuktanam vachitam priti purvakam nadami bhuti yogam tam yenamam vyantati. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. As Prabhupada says, devotees who actually engage in devotional service with faith and love are inspired by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vaishnavas are never concerned with ritualistic smarta brahmins. Śrīla Sanātana Goswāmī has therefore compiled Hari Bhakti Vilas to guide the Vaishnavas who never follow the smarta vidhi. Although the Supreme Lord is situated in the core of everyone's heart, unless one is a Vaishnava, unless one is engaged in devotional service, one does not get sound advice by which to return home back to Godhead. Such instructions are meant only for devotees. Therefore, in this verse, the word daiva prahita, being inspired by the Supreme Lord, is important. Shukracharya should have encouraged Bali Maharaj to give everything to Lord Vishnu. This would have been a sign of love for the Supreme Lord, but he did not do so. On the contrary, he wanted to punish his devoted disciple by cursing him. So quite amazing that here in this pastime, the hero is a demon, and the demon is a Brahmin. So it's like quite opposite. Like Vritrasura, yes, very same, like Vritrasura. So I have an excerpt here from Brihadbhagavatamrita, and Lord Shiva is speaking to Narada Muni. And he said to Narada, "My dear sage, Bali violated spiritual etiquette by disobeying the order of his spiritual master and failing to be true to his own word. Still, as we know, the Lord agreed to become the guard at Bali's door. Was that simply the fruit of Bali's insignificant charity? The Lord also granted protection to the wicked Bana. Was that the result of my offering the Lord's prayers?" So Shiva is speaking. So someone, because the Lord blessed Bali Maharaj by becoming his doorkeeper, commentary says, someone might suggest Bali received more mercy than Prahlad. According to Lord Shiva, this is not true. Rather, Lord Vishnu favored Bali only because Bali was Prahlad's grandson. So it was his relationship with Prahlad that got him the mercy, actually, this time, that he got the favor. Fighting for the demons against the demigods, Bali overturned the law of the universe set by Lord Brahma that demigods should rule heaven and the demons the subterranean Patala Loka. By invading heaven, usurping the throne of Indra, awarding the posts of various demigods to demons, Bali violated this natural order. Bali also disobeyed instructions from his spiritual master, Shukracharya. Shukracharya warned Bali not to give anything to Vamadeva, even though Bali had offered Lord Vamadeva his choice of gifts and charity. By committing the worst possible crime of denying one's spiritual master's order, Bali earned Shukracharya's curse. So, this purport goes on. We've heard most of this already. It seems that Bali did not give anything very important, just the three insignificant material worlds and then his own body. And so here it says, Vamanadeva's becoming Bali's doorkeeper could not have been the result of just this meager charity Lord Shiva proposes. Must be because of Prahlad. Bali didn't deserve the benediction. He was a violator of the universal order, transgressor of his guru's order, and breaker of promises. So this charity could not have resulted in the Lord's entering Bali's household entourage. The only feasible explanation for Bali's good fortune is his intimate exchange of prema bhakti between Prahlad and his worshipable Lord. So it's actually because of Prahlad. Yes?
It was also confirmed way back in the 7th century that the descendants of Prahlad would be
liberated. Yes. Remember the promise of Nrisingadev to Prahlad that, don't worry, he was asking, please liberate my father. He said, not only your father, but 21 generations before and after will all be liberated. If you become, because you're a pure devotee, if we become pure devotee, all the generations of our family, before and after, 21 generations, will be liberated. And if we're a middle, I had this quote from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, if we're a middle-class devotee, Madhyamadikari, then 14 generations before and after. And if you're a neophyte devotee, 3 generations before and after will be liberated. Yes. So there's hope for all of us. Now, these 3 generations we can liberate. And that means, and someone asked Prabhupada, does that mean just your immediate family or your aunts and uncles and cousins? And Prabhupada said, aunts and uncles and cousins and everybody. They all get. So, wonderful, huh? Happy? Yes. Yes. Huh? They can? But you know what the liberation is?
No, I'm joking.
Yeah.
They will become devotees. They will become devotees. That's liberation. So they will all become devotees. So verse 15. Although you have no knowledge. Oh, he's cursing him. You have become a so-called learned person, and therefore you dare to be so impudent as to disobey my order. Because of disobeying me, you shall very soon be bereft of all your opulence. So there's the curse.
And so will I.
And so will I. No. So very soon you will be bereft of all your opulence. He's cursing him. You will lose it all. Of course, he knows he's going to lose it all. So. Yes. So, purport, Śrīla Viṣṇu Chakravarti Thakura says that Bali Maharaj was not Pandita Mani, or one who falsely assumes himself learned. Rather, he was Pandita Manyagya. So now we're interpreting the words in a different way. One who is so learned that all other learned persons worship him. And because he was so learned, he could disobey the order of his so-called spiritual master. He had no need to care about anyone else. Thus, Bali Maharaj could never be bereft of all opulences. The opulences offered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead are not to be compared to the opulences obtained by Karmakanda. In other words, if a devotee becomes very opulent, it is to be understood his opulence is a gift of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such opulence will never be vanquished, whereas the opulence achieved by one's fruitive activity may be vanquished at any moment. So if you see an opulent devotee, know it's a gift of Krishna. So actually all that's happening is the plan of the Lord. Shukracharya was inspired by Krishna to curse Bali. And you have to remember that Aditi, he had promised Aditi he will satisfy her, but he had to arrange the circumstance where Shukracharya will withdraw his blessings that he got the opulence of the whole universe. Because he couldn't go against the Brahmins. Krishna always, the Lord respects the Brahmins. He couldn't just say, okay, you know, I don't care what Shukracharya says. He wouldn't say that. He wouldn't go against Shukracharya. And even Brihaspati wouldn't go against Shukracharya. The word of the Brahman must be upheld. So he got it. Yeah, even though he was, he still, he had to, he got the universe. He helped him get the universe. So now Krishna, he has to cheat to get it away from him now. He's not going to fight. He's not going to defeat Shukracharya. He's just begging from Bali Maharaj very simply, 3 steps of land. So there's a nice purport in 7th canto, 3rd chapter, verse 13, about where Prabhupada says, in spiritual advancement, one's material position improves. At the same time, the path of liberation becomes clear and one is freed from material bondage. Yes, yeah, 7, 3, 13. Your material position also improves. We're waiting for that. Some of us, the opposite happens. But Krishna has to take everything away first. So verse 16, this is the last verse we'll read today. Shukadeva Goswami continued, even after being cursed in this way by his own spiritual master, Bali Maharaj, being a great personality, never deviated from his determination. Therefore, according to custom, he first offered water to Vamanadeva and then offered him the gift of land he had promised. So this is called Danavir, or chivalry in giving charity. Danavir. This is according to Nectar of Devotion. If you go to the rasa of chivalry, then one type of chivalry is to give in charity. And this is called Danavir, or chivalry in giving charity. It may be divided into 2 parts, munificence and renunciation. A person who can sacrifice everything for the satisfaction of Krishna is called munificent. And then, when a person knows the glories of the Lord completely and is prepared to sacrifice everything for the Lord, he's called Sampradanaka, or one who gives everything in charity for the sake of Krishna. So Bali Maharaj is given as an example in Nectar of Devotion. He told his priest Shukracharya, my dear sage, you are fully expert in knowledge of the Vedas. As such, you worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, by Vedic rituals. As far as this Brahmana dwarf, Vamanadeva, is concerned, if he's Lord Vishnu, a simple Brahmin, or even my enemy, I have decided to give him in charity all the land he has asked for. Maharaj, now Rupa Goswami is speaking, Maharaj Bali was so fortunate, but the Lord extended before him his hand, which was reddish from touching the breast of the goddess of fortune, who is always smeared with red kumkum powder. This is Nectar Devotion, chapter 46, chivalry. In other words, although the personality of Godhead is so great that the goddess of fortune is always under his command for enjoyment, he still extended his hands to take charity from Bali Maharaj. A person who wants to give everything in charity to Krishna but does not want anything in return is considered the real renouncer. Now, Jiva Goswami analyzes this rasa, Danavira rasa, rasa of giving charity in relation to love for Krishna. 2 kinds of rasa, 2 kinds of charity. Very liberally, bahu pradatva, and 2, giving charity in one's own valuable possessions. Possessions attained with great difficulty. Samutita dhiraparta tyaga. Now the first, bahu pradatva dhyanavira ras, is considered. Alamban is the conclusion that great satisfaction comes from giving charity. For the person very eager to give charity, the vishaya, object of love, is Lord Krishna. The adhara, the lover, is the devotee. Other persons who give charity, persons who are not devotees, give charity only externally, bahiraga. Here the udipans, means stimulus for love, are seeing charity and other things. The anubhavas are the smile that comes from giving in charity more than the recipient could have desired. Other responses are among the anubhavas. Vyabhicharis are thoughtfulness, eagerness, joy, and other emotions. Staibhav is eagerness to give charity, eagerness impelled by love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we are experiencing now this Danavir Ras of Bali Maharaj, or the chivalry of giving in charity. We'll stop here. Any questions or comments on these verses? Adi Purush.
There's a question from Bhakti Demian.
Bhakti Demian, oh yeah, when did he write?
2 days ago.
2 days ago. Isn't that interesting? Even though he's not with us, he's with us. He's following. Oh, really? No, he encouraged him. He gave him a garland. Okay, the question is, why didn't Prahlad Maharaj stop Bali Maharaj from conquering the heavenly planets? On the contrary, he encouraged him. He gave him a garland. Yes, go defeat Indra. Yes. There are many answers. Yes?
I would say because so that the Veda could be concluded on full.
Okay, so. So Prahlad Maharaj could understand the future, perhaps, and he knew that there was going to be a Leela here, Trikalagya, and he understood that Vamadeva was coming, and for the benefit of Bali Maharaj, who was his grandson, and he wanted him to become a great devotee, and this is the way. First you get everything, and then you lose it. Yes?
Just to maintain the Leela of the Lord.
Yeah, that's what we just said. If it's something different, then you can tell us. Thank you. Yes. Okay, so here's another answer. Bali Maharaj has got some material desires. So he has to get purified by getting the things, enjoying them, and then losing them, have the Lord. If he have nothing to give, what will he give when Vamanadev comes? Yes. Okay. The prediction of Nrisingadev that you're... ancestors will be liberated. So Bali Maharaj is about to be liberated by Vamanadev. What do you think, Adi Purush? You want to write all these answers to him? The good answers. Tell Bhakti Damian that our class is responding to your question. And we are missing you. Okay? And come back next year for 10th canto. Yes. Chaini Taigo. Oh, wait. Are we still on the same question? Okay. He's on the same question.
My question.
Yes.
And he remained devotee.
But.
Even in the case of losing everything.
Yes. So you're asking about Prahlad Maharaj. Who are you asking? Bali. Bali Maharaj. So if he's a devotee, then why would he want to get the heavenly planets and all that? Is that your question?
Yes.
Is that your question? Yes. He was a pure devotee, but. He had a little bit. He had a little more advancement to make, and he also, if you're a pure devotee and you're not tested, how will people know? How will people know? So, and also, he was also humble. He was accepting his position. Okay, I'm born in demon family. Demons fight with the demigods, so let me go fight. That's what I'm supposed to do. It's my duty, even if it's imperfect, as he quoted. The duty of a demon is to fight the demigods. So let me go and fight. Yes, he did his duty, but when Vamanadev came, then we could see what was really in his heart. Then we could see now his real heart is going to come, that actually he has devotion. And if your devotion is not tested, how will people know what kind of devotion you have? Abhay. He's a Kshatriya. Yeah, he has a nature of a... So he's saying that, well, you know, if he's such a devotee, why is he inclined to fight? What about Bhima, Arjuna, and all these devotees? They were inclined to fight. Of course, that was for Krishna. But they had the nature to fight, too. And Krishna told Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, if you don't fight for me, you're going to fight anyway. And so it's his nature to fight, and they're fighting. They're Kshatriyas of the universe, the demigods and the demons. It's their nature to fight, and so they fight sometimes. It just happens. It's the law of the universe. Yeah. Okay, wait. Let's get his second question now. Second question of Bhakti Damian. Yes. So he's saying that, you know, there's that verse we talked about last week, that the lusty, those in lusty people are not in heaven. So the answer, again, is the same answer, that they're in the mode of goodness. That's their mode. But sometimes, because they're in the material world, they fall. It's mixed. It's not pure goodness. They're in the mode of goodness, which can, at any time, there's a competition, and Gita says, and so you can be influenced by the lower modes. And you have all this enjoyment there, and how to. But even you have all the enjoyment, it's another point, still you're not satisfied. They're not satisfied with his own wife. He has to go get somebody else's wife. So it's, yes, they are acting like Sakam Bhaktas sometimes. Maybe they're even Sakam Bhaktas, who knows? They may be, or they may not be, but they certainly act like it sometimes. So it's very confusing for us insignificant jivas here in the lower planets to fathom. Mode of goodness, but mixed, mixed mode of goodness, not pure. Okay, any other questions? Yes, Jaini Tiger. Oh, and then we'll go to...
money?
And the government sees you have money.
Then they will take away your
money. Yeah, they think how to take away this person's money.
There is...
he made a huge company.
The biggest chain of stores.
Oh, big chain of stores.
Yeah, and
they threw him out. Yeah, that reminds me of... actually, I got an email from Mahadevi, and this is the head of the Apple computer company, the one who actually built the first Apple computer. It was quite an interesting story. He was giving a lecture at a graduation ceremony of Harvard, or one of these big universities. He was giving a graduation lecture. And he said how when he was young and he was very, very poor, and when he was a college student, he was in the garage of his parents, he was building these computers, and he used to walk 7 miles every Sunday to the Hare Krishna temple for the feast. and then he built this big company, and then he hired someone to manage it, and then it happened that this manager took control of the company and threw him out of the company. Then he started his own next company, some more other companies. And then what happened after that was the Apple computer bought his small company and made him the head again, like that. But he was very philosophical about it. He said, yes, these, and then he said, it was very nice that this happened to me, and because I lost everything, then I gained so many things. It was quite interesting. I have this letter. That because I lost my position and everything, then, actually he's talking about karma. He went to the feast, he understood something, huh? He was in the Bhakti program in San Diego, just see. Spent a couple of weeks in the Bhakti program, so. What's his name? Steve Jobs. Anyway, so yeah. But he had a very philosophical, he understood it was his karma. When he same thing happened to him, he lost everything. He started again, and then it's just like, anyway, he got something. Yes. In association with this canto. The title is Withdrawal of the Cosmic Manifestation. Is it because Vamana withdrew the whole cosmic manifestation from Bali Maharaj? The theme. Our expert is Adi Purush on this topic. Withdrawal, the name of this chapter is Nirodha, is it? Of the canto? Is it? Withdrawal, oh yes, it says withdrawal of the cosmic manifestation. Tell us about it. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Here we go. Sridhar Swami. And many other acharyas. From the third canto they start. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So this one is 8. Withdrawal. Nirodha. Mamantara. Oh, so there is a disagreement here. Mamantara according to Sridhar Swami and Vishnu Chakravarti. Okay? And many others. Manvantara, obviously. Prabhupada assigned the names in the same order.
Starting from the first canto.
From the first canto.
Just as a publishing convenience.
As a publishing convenience, okay.
It's not like a sign of Matsya.
Matsya. Oh, there is a devastation. I mean, there is. It's here. It's also here. But Manvantara is actually very prominent. All the 14 Manus are in this canto. Mentioned, at least. Yeah. Anything else? Yes. Okay, she's saying when Vamadeva left to go to Bali Maharaj, he pressed down the earth with every step. What is the inner meaning of that? Do we have an inner meaning?
Yes.
What is it?
Acharyas
talk about it.
Which chapter is this?
Must be chapter 18 or 19. Chapter 18 or 19. Maybe 19. Okay, it shows that he's filled with all the opulences of the world. No, that's it. What is the, find a verse if you can, it would be good. Okay, any other questions? The deeper meaning is he's God. Yes. He ate too much. And therefore, he ate the whole universe. Everyone was offering him at the same time, and what can you do? So many yagyas. from so many universes. Not just this one universe. Any other questions or comments? All glories to Srila Prabhupada.